Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to gather together to read through the book of John, Lord, to continue to see your discourse with the Jews, and in particular the Jewish leaders, Lord, the religious leader. And we see and learn from this interaction, Lord, with them, to see the depravity of man and to see your grace poured out for us as sinners. Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to look at words of Christ, to learn from it, to see how we can gain comfort from it also. Lord, may you bless us with the Holy Spirit to enlighten us with your word, Lord, that we may learn faithfully and we may apply everything that we have learned into our own lives, Lord. Let me pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So shall we together? John, new section of John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 32 to 44. And then today we're going to zoom in at verses 32 to 34. Let's read together. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent off officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying he will seek me and you will not find me? And where I am, you cannot come." On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division among the people over him. So let's read together again, John 7, verses 32 to 34, which was only to get these three verses today. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." Now, this is very interesting, and we start off, first of all, in verse 32. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering. Now, muttering itself, when you look at this term, is referring to the conversation that they were having, the conversation previously which Jesus was having with the crowd of people. Now, muttering itself means whispering, you know, speaking privately, speaking softly. So, when we look back on the previous verses, Jesus himself might be proclaiming to them, but nonetheless, what they have heard is about the crowd themselves. They are talking among themselves about Jesus, and the Pharisees somehow overheard it. The conversation was overheard, but then, how did this happen? Well, what happened? How did they know? Well, of course, we could say that the Pharisee has planted spies among this crowd as they were discussing about what Jesus had said. Or they themselves was among them. They were among them discussing what Christ had said. But that's not important. It's not important to question how the Pharisees heard and learned about it. But what is important here is that the Pharisees know. After the Pharisees had heard these things about Christ, about him, about Christ proclaiming to be the Messiah, about some of the people in the crowd believing that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ which has been promised. And right now they find trouble, they find issue. And what happened? They approach the chief priest. As we see later on in verse 32, the chief priest and the Pharisees send officers to arrest him. Now, the Pharisees themselves don't hold on to that much amount of authority in the Sanhedrin themselves. The chief priest has the highest authority, has the greater authorities. And so they choose to appeal to them, to the chief priest, to arrest Christ. But why? Why are they so into arresting Christ? Why are they so into bringing Christ before them, condemning him? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Why? Now, if you were to take logically, previously, Jesus having conversation with the crowd, the topic was about Christ, Jesus being the Christ. And right now, the people starts questioning. As we have seen previously in John, earlier part of John chapter 7, we see that this crowd of people, they started questioning whether the chief priests, whether the Pharisees themselves have the right purpose of killing Christ, of condemning Christ. So they themselves fighting that Christ has a demon in him. Who is trying to seek to kill you? Doesn't make sense to us. Why are people trying to seek to kill you? And right now, more and more people are convinced that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah that is to come. But yet the Pharisees, the chief priests, this group of pretentious worshippers still seek to kill him. Now the reason is simple. Because of pride, because of man. Now if you were to think about it, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, they have held on to religious power for all their life. And right now someone comes out and proclaims to be the Christ, proclaims to be the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. Their pride comes and their pride is there. How dare they question them? How dare the people question the chief priests and the Pharisees? The Pharisees, as the great pretenders of learning, to assume and to assert that they themselves know everything in this universe and everything about God. And for the chief priests, the pretenders to being sanctity, to being the best and most perfect being in this world, they themselves do not realize who they are preaching about, who they themselves proclaim to believe in. Now, this itself has not just been shown in scriptures, but throughout history. As we go into the month of October, we continue to remember what our forefathers in the faith has done for us. The Great Reformation 500 odd years ago, they themselves has laid down the foundation for us. But they themselves faced a very similar issue as how Christ himself has faced the issue here. They were preaching truth. They were preaching about God. They were preaching about Christ. But yet, those proud men seek to kill him. Those pretentious worshippers seek to kill him. The Pope seeks to kill them. Why? And this is deep down in the inner nature of man. The worst part of man. All of us wish to give ourselves own self-pride. We seek for our own glory. The very thing that Christ has charged the priests, the chief priests and the Pharisees. This is what they're looking for. They're looking for glory. They're looking for honor. They're looking for people to worship them and not worship the God which they are supposed to serve. They themselves are hypocrites and they themselves are pretentious worshippers. They do not know God. And right here we see that they don't know the Messiah. They never truly understand the Old Testament. They never truly understood the law of Moses, which the Pharisees has held up so highly. They think that they know God, but yet they do not. During the Reformation, this was the case. And yet the sad truth is that many of the preachers today are similar in some ways. They seek for their own pride, they seek for their own gain, but yet in the midst of it, thinking that they worship God, they have regretted God altogether. God is never in what they preach. Christ is never in what they preach. The pretentious worshippers are scary. They're so much so to the point that they wish to shut those who speak the truth down. They themselves might have suspected that Jesus is the Christ, but they're not willing to accept it. They don't want to accept it. They wish to arrest him and put him to death. It's as simple as that. The chief priests and the Pharisees hate truth. The chief priests and the Pharisees hate God. They hate Christ. They do not wish for the truth to be shown to the people. They do not wish for themselves to embrace the truth either. They wish to cover it up. They do not wish for their reputation to go down the drain. They serve not the God of their forefathers, but they serve for their own inner desires. That is the chief priest. Now, another thing that we recognize here, look at the chief priests and the Pharisees. Their concerns. Their concerns is not about Christ, it's not about Jesus, whether he's the Messiah or the Christ. Their concern is about the crowd, They think or they feel that Christ is leading the crowds astray, which is true. That Christ is leading them astray from the Pharisees and from the chief priests, leading the crowds to the proper path. But yet they are afraid of it. And so what do? They choose to arrest the leader. They choose to arrest Christ. You see, this is how the world works. The most effective way is to smite down the shepherd and the sheep scatter. Why? Even in the modern society, in the modern army, you know, we have things like snipers. We have dedicated people to kill off the commander, kill off the chief head. Why is the president so afraid of being killed? Because this is the case. If you kill the leader, the sheep will scatter. The people following will scatter. And this is what they know. And this is how they target. And this is truth in the church. How does Satan work? Satan don't need to target the crowd. Satan don't need to target the common congregation. They target the leaders. If the leaders fall, people fall with them. People fall away from Christ with them. So this wicked chief, these wicked rabbis seek to get back their honor from the crowd by shutting Christ down, by shutting down the truth that this group of people may no longer know truth. And by that, they wish and they hope to grab people back to them. And as we see later on, you know, this whole story was in place. The truth will still prevail. The truth cannot be bound. Whatever the chief priests and the Pharisees wishes to do, it wouldn't work in their favor. For God's truth cannot be bound by men. God's truth will be spread across the world. We have seen this in the scriptures and we have seen this in history. Throughout 500 years ago, during the Reformation time, the Pope wishes to shut them down. The Pope wishes to shut all the reformers down, but yet they stood strong. No, we should be thankful that we are blessed by God through them. And God ultimately works His truth in certain people to bring us, the sheep, back from our different pasture, back to the true faith which we have been given. So that is that. That first aspect, verse 32, and then we go on to verse 33 and verse 34. Jesus then said, I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him. Send me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you can come. Jesus then said, now most likely Jesus was speaking to the officers, like those group of people who have came to arrest Christ, and also to maybe some of the unbelieving Jews who have seeked out to come to talk to him more. I will be with you a little longer. He has little time to stay with them. This is very true. Christ won't be with us for long. In fact, Christ is no longer with us anymore, physically at least. It says that he's never likely to have a quiet day among them. He realized, he recognized that he won't have a peaceful day with you. But I won't be with you for very long. So what? I'm just going to be gone soon. This is the truth even for us today. You know, we think that life is very long, 80 years or whatsoever. It feels very long. But yet, with people in this world, our friends or our foes, it is but a little longer with them. It's a short time with them. This is how much time we have to spend with them. And yet, this time itself should be precious to us. Because it is only during this period of time they are able to seek and find Christ. Note that in verse 34, I will be with you a little longer. And after this time, what happened? You seek me and you will never find me. Where I am after this period of time, you cannot come with me. You think we have very much time, but I'm telling you, you don't. You don't have much time. You have a little longer and that's it. Everything is going to pass away and there's no opportunity for the gospel anymore. How long, oh man, do you wish to wait? How long do you wish to come? And also, it's another form of comfort, surprisingly, for the officers. It seems very interesting. Now, just imagine yourself being an officer when you hear this. I will be with you a little longer. The chief priest and the Pharisee will be celebrating right now. The Jews will be celebrating. There is no more need to be concerned with Christ anymore. It's going to be gone, and everything is going to go back to normal. It's great, isn't it? It's great, isn't it? But yet, they don't see that this is a judgment toward them. That this is a sad fact that Christ is going to go away. They do not recognize what they have missed. And once they missed it, they will never be able to find it back again. They will seek Christ and no longer will he be with them. That when he should quit this troublesome world, now he should go to him who sent him, who sent Christ. Then I am going to him who sent me. You see, this is a very beautiful image right here. Who is Christ going to go to? It is the Father, as we have seen throughout the whole John. We see that he is sent by the Father. He is sent into his world by the Father. And where he is going back to the Father. You know, in some ways, this is a comfort for ourselves also. Christ himself has proclaimed his death. Christ himself has said that he is going back soon. How soon, we do not know. At least for some, we do not know. But it's a comfort to us. Why? We are followers of Christ. We are going with him to whom he has been sent. We're going back to the Father. We're going back to our Creator. It's a joyful thing. It is a joyful thing for Christians. I will be with you a little longer and then I'm going to him. It is talking about his death. And yet it's comforting for him and it should be comforting for us also. Why? Because we are going to join him to go to him who sent Christ. Go to the Father, go to the Creator. This is our comfort in death. That Christ does not just go alone, but he brings us along. He brings his ships along. He brings his people along with him. Yes, we suffer in this world, just as how Christ has suffered in this world. But in the face of his enemies, he laughs at them. He mocks them in some ways. You want me to be gone? Sure. I do not regret it. You will. But I am going where I was before. I am going to where there's peace in this paradise. But you will seek me and you will not find me. As I went through Proverbs, this is in Proverbs. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 10. It is talking about that. In vain you'll be crying out for me. In vain you'll be trying to seek me. But by then you'll be too late. Where am I? You cannot come in, you rebellious nation, you rebellious generation. You'll seek me someday. But that someday will be too late. In your calamities, in the darkness of hell, in the deepest region of hell, you'll be crying out to me, seeking to find me. But where am I? I will be someplace where you do not know and where you cannot come. You see, they saw this, the Jews, as later on in verse 35, they saw this as, oh, Jesus is going to go off the country, he's going to join the Greeks. No, where I am, you cannot come. They missed that part out. You cannot come altogether. This is a place where you are incapable of coming. You see, by man's own works, by man's own ability, we cannot go to heaven. This group of officers cannot go to heaven with their own abilities. But it is through Christ and in Christ where they that we are able to receive salvation. There is a time frame, young brothers and sisters, for people to receive Christ. There is a time frame for us to seek Him and to find Him. And before then, it will be too late. You see, in here, Christ refers to a bit about His own death. But what's more, it also refers to the death of mankind, the physical death that we'll be facing. The choice of salvation, our dedication towards God, is in this period of time. Whether we come to praise God, whether we come to receive God, whether we come to faith, it is only in this period of short time. After that, in hell. Okay, so the way to seek God is the way to find Him. Where I am, you cannot come. Indeed, you cannot. And indeed, you also will not. Why? Look, these people hate Christ. Now, realize that also, that these people hated Christ. They will not enjoy being with Christ. They hate the mere sound of Jesus. What more do you think? Will they enjoy the sight of Jesus daily? That where I'm going, that I am going to Him who sends me, He will be with the Father. And if you wish to be with the Father, you have to see me for the rest of eternity. You wouldn't be enjoying it at all. You cannot come because you do not wish to come. You will not enjoy it. Your will is not to praise me. Your will is to praise yourself, to glorify yourself, to seek your own honor and to seek your own glory. Seek your vain ambitions. But what about ourselves, young brothers and sisters? What do we think? Do we appreciate this precious time which the Lord has given us to be on this world? Do we see how little time that we have on this world? Do we seek Him? Do we find Him? And do we share this finding of ours? And then in death, on our deathbed, do we say that? I'm going to Him who sent me. Not that I am like Christ that the Father sent me, but I'm going to Him, Christ, who has sent me. Who has sent me out into this world, just as how the Father has commissioned the Son has commissioned us, sent us out into this world. And ultimately, we will be joining Him and going back to Him, going to Him, sits on the heavenly throne. Sits on the heavenly throne guiding our lives. That's our comfort in this statement, in these verses that Christ has spoken. And where is our zeal in these verses? To see our little time. How do we use it, young brothers and sisters? It's a good time to reflect about that. How do we use this little amount of time that we have in this world? That we recognize that it is little, first of all. And also lastly, do we seek Christ before it is too late? So with that, I will end off today's session. Can I have Qi Hong to close us in prayer?
Hello?
Yeah.
Dear God, thank you for today. I pray that we can remember your word and remember your teaching. Let us have a peaceful night ahead. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.